You'll find an authorized version of Holy Scriptures in front of you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me to the New Testament, to the 10th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans, Romans chapter 12. The New Testament starts with the Gospels and then comes to the book of the Acts and then to the epistle to the Romans, the 10th chapter. We're reading from verse 13 of this chapter down to the end of the chapter. The Lord's Day morning, we read together, taking your time from me. Romans 10 and 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I am found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. God shall stamp with his own divine blessing this reading from his infallible word. Amen. I take the promised Holy Ghost. The blessed power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Boys and girls, this morning, I want to speak to you upon the great foundation stone of gospel truth. And the great foundation stone of gospel truth is faith. The distinguishing characteristic of Christianity is faith. We read in this 10th chapter of Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith of Christianity and the faith that saves our souls, boys and girls, is a faith that rests upon the word of God. But the word of God may not have any effect on our lives, on our minds, or on our conscience. So faith is grounded in the Scriptures, but grace is only imparted when it is heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's why, as Protestants in our churches, the pulpit takes the center, because the foundation of our heritage is faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I am often asked the question, and I'm sure every child here asks the question, well, what is it to believe? What is it to have faith? How can I know I really have it? And how can I know and be sure that I have it? Well, I want to take that word faith, and I want to spell out its meaning simply to you today. What is it to believe? What is it to have faith? I want to take it as an acrostic. That is, I want to take every letter in it and spell out the meaning from every letter that's in the text. Faith starts with the letter F. F stands for forsaking. True faith comes to the heart through an act of forsaking. Something has to be said farewell to. Something has to be said goodbye to. Something has got to be forsaken. So if we're going to have real faith, we start by an act of forsaking. Religious people who haven't got the truth of the gospel, but have religion and have churchianity rather than Christianity, put their emphasis upon various things. Many people think their religion will take them to heaven, and by more and more religion, heaven's doors will be opened to them. There's no word in the Bible that tells me that heaven's doors are open because of religion. You can have all the religion that it's possible for a person to be involved in, but God is saying to you today, you've got to forsake your religion. You've got to forsake your dependence upon your religion. You have got to forsake your faith in religion to save you. You can attend God's church. There's a great Presbyterian minister in the United States of America called Billy Sunday, and he used to say, when you go into a garage, you don't expect to come out a motor car. But he says, foolish people think if they go into church, they'll come out Christians. But they're just as foolish as a man thinks he'll be a motor car because he goes to a garage. Religion has to be forsaken. Trust in religion has to be forsaken. Trust in the ordinances of religion, whether it be baptism or the Lord's Supper or the offering up of prayer, has to be forsaken. These things cannot see it. Forsake your religion. Forsake your trust in religion. Forsake your faith in religion. But the second letter of this word faith is the letter A. A stands for all. Forsaking all. But that includes more than a trust in religion. You have to forsake your sins. It was John Bunyan who said, Christ and sin never walk the same road. You can't have your sins and have Christ. What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. It comes from a Greek word which means missing the mark. And that comes from the old bow and arrow of the soldier. And here is a man, and he has his bow and he has his arrow, and there's a target ahead of him. One of three things can happen when he fires the arrow. It can go beyond the target. It can not reach the target. You can miss the mark by going into territory that you shouldn't be in. You've gone beyond the mark. That is transgression in the Bible. Or you can fail to reach the mark, and that, of course, is a failure to come up to the standard. Both ways you miss the mark. Or you can be on the target. Sin is missing the mark. And young people, sin is missing the mark not by our standards, but by God's standards. And God has written down those standards in His book. They're not dated. They remain fresh. They are the Ten Commandments. And any want of conformity unto those Ten Commandments is sin. And all sin has got to be forsaken. You cannot have sin and have Christ. You cannot have sin or have peace. You can only have peace and Christ when you forsake your sin. I'm sure you are saying, well, preacher, that is difficult. Of course it is. But you see, God gives grace when He draws men to Himself. The grace of forsaking all. Of forsaking all. You can't by your own strength forsake all your sin. But you can by God's grace forsake all your sin. Forsaking all. I come next in the verse, in the word, and of course that stands for you yourself, forsaking all I. This is a personal relationship between you and God. It's nothing to do between you and the preacher. It's nothing to do between you and the church, or you and someone else. The relationship in your heart as far as faith is concerned is a personal relationship. It's something that you know about. It's something that you have to experience. It's something that is personal and practical in your heart, in your conscience, in your mind, and in your inmost soul. You have a solemn responsibility. God has given to us the privilege of decision, of doing something about it. The the old preacher said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a decision. All through the Old Testament and New Testament, there were men and women, boys and girls who made decisions. And God wants you, young person, to make that great decision. I'm glad as a little boy, 6 years of age, I made that decision. But my mother, who was teaching a school class in the church that my father was a preacher in, she spoke on that great verse, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And she pointed out that we have to respond to the gift of God. A gift is held out to you that you might receive it. And God wants you to receive his gift. You have a decision to make. You either say yes or no. You either bow and say, oh God, I thank you for your gift, the gift of your Son. Save me and make me your child. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And eternity is long. We're not going to be here forever. Young people die as well as older people. Everyone must face death and judgment and the great eternity that lies beyond the river of time. So you have an urgent decision to make. You should make it now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day. Forsaking all I, and this T is very important. I trust. T is for trust. Now what is trusting? Trusting is to put all that you have, everything that you have, you cast it upon the person you trust. And you have to give yourself entirely, totally, without reservation, without question. You have to put your trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord. On nothing else, on no one else, just in Christ alone. His name is Jesus. Jesus means Savior. And the day of Pentecost, when the New Testament church was born, the Apostle Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, for by ye must be saved. You can only be saved by putting your trust, casting away, forsaking everything, and you're locked up and shut up to one thing, Jesus only. And when you're shut up to him, he will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. To trust. To sign off and let Christ sign off. To come down from the throne and let Christ take the throne. To let him be the king of my life, the king of my soul, and the king of my all. To trust. And then the last letter is H. Forsaking all, I trust him.
I trust him. Oh, I would present to your young person today this wonderful Savior. I don't know how people live without Christ. We need a friend in a friendless world. He is the friend of sinners. We need love in a loveless world. He's the lover of our soul. We need peace in a warring world. Jesus Christ brings peace to the soul. Everything you need, everything you require, everything that life demands is met fully and faithfully and eternally in Christ. Him. Oh, that you might know him. There's one thing knowing about a person. There's a different thing in knowing the person. When I was elected to the British House of Commons over 35 years ago, I can't help looking like 25, but that is a fact. I was going along the corridor one day and the Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, came out of his office and he let a guilder out of him. He says, "Pavey!" I stopped and turned around. He said, "I want a word with you." So I walked into his office. I had known a lot about Harold Wilson. I knew about his political career. I knew what particular stable in politics he came out of. I knew many things about it, but I'd never got to know him until that day. I had to meet him. You can know many things about Christ. You can know where Christ was born and when he was born. You can know the facts of his life, the facts of his miracles, the facts of his death, the fact of his resurrection, and the fact of what is recorded of him in the Scriptures. But do you know him personally? Do you? Have you been introduced to him? Can you say, "I know him because I've had a personal encounter with him"? I know him because he has spoke to me personally. I know because I have received him into my heart, and I can say he is mine and I am his. Young person, never rest, for the best knowledge and the supreme knowledge that you need to have is not the knowledge taught of man, but the knowledge taught of God when you know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. I trust today that our young people will forsake all and say, "I trust him." If you're an older person and you've never had the experience of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone, that today you will say in that seat where you were sitting, "Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. O wash me in the precious blood and take my sins away." And he will do it. And old things will pass away and all things will become new. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for the simplicity of thy gospel. We thank thee that thou didst so love the world that thou didst give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in thee should not perish, but have everlasting life. May not one pass through the door of this church without Christ, but may everyone, young and old, leave this house knowing that Christ is in them, because forsaken all, I have trusted him. May it be so, for Jesus' sake. Amen.